Hello and welcome to the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You're joined by myself, Barney, and as always, I'm joined by my brother, Albert. That was a bit weird to say.
It's our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, to mix up a bit. But yeah, how are things? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. It's good to be back. Again, another couple of weeks since we last did a show, wasn't it? And in between that, obviously, we had Christmas, we had New Year. The big debate that everyone has at this time of year, is it too late to say Happy New Year?
Mm-hmm.
I'll risk it. I'll say Happy New Year to the listeners.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Hope we don't get too much grief after back of that. But no, it's good to be back, isn't it? Because, we had a good break, I think it's fair to say, didn't we? We were both very much switched off, not just from football, but from work and stuff.
But also a lovely way to end... Well, no, to start the Christmas period, sorry, with a first ever long wall football quiz, Christmas quiz.
Yeah, as I said at the time, I think we learnt a lot. it was fun though, wasn't it? It was good.
Yeah, it was great to have some great guests on.
I think
we definitely learned about how in depth to do some of the quiz rounds.
I hope a few people listening have watched that because it was good fun. I think it's a fun watch. Some of the questions we didn't quite pitch right. I know they're a bit too difficult. We were trying to find a balance between having some medium, some easy, some medium, some hard, and it was hard to judge what the hard ones were. But no, it was really good fun. I think it's on our YouTube channel. We're on YouTube.
Yeah.
So go and check that out if you wanna do that. You can see our faces as well. And they've got the boys on there from Portugal Corner, Mike Agostinho, Mr. Benfica, and we had Sam from All Things Alvalade. And ourselves, so yeah, it's a good laugh. The listeners won't be seeing our faces, but I know she got a glass of red wine. Is that a Portuguese wine?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I don't know what it is. No, I drank all my port over Christmas. I haven't got any port.
Oh, nice.
I enjoyed the 2015 bottle you bought me for a birthday a couple of years ago. That was what we poured out for, that's what we left for Santa to drink and use. And he very much enjoyed that.
very good.
Yeah. But I think this week we're going to take it. It's a little bit different because, as Albert said, we've been off for Christmas. Haven't fully got our heads back in the game, but we're going to take a look at some of the. Well, a lot has happened as well. To be fair, in those 2 weeks,
the listeners might be surprised to know, Barney, that we do actually normally plan these episodes. it might not sound like it, but they're normally planned. And yeah, I think because we're straight.
Carry us this time.
And we've got to guess, yeah. So we're straight back into it. So I feel like we're just going to do, it'll be much more relaxed. And this is a good opportunity because this is more like the kind of episode that normally goes out on our Patreon as a Patreon exclusive bonus podcast, much more relaxed, much less kind of prepared and stuff. So if you like the feel of this show, then definitely check out our Patreon where you can sign up for £1 a month. There's a link in the description of the podcast. It's only a quid, only a pound. And I think it's great value. You get loads of good stuff on there. And actually, this is the perfect time to sign up, Barney. Couldn't be better because the predictions league that we run, we run two predictions league during the season. We do the first half of the season and we do the second half of the season. And you basically predict every single result and you get points based on a correct scoreline or a correct result or stuff like that. And at the end of that period, the winner wins a great prize, which we'll share on our social media very soon. But the second period is about to start. It's the perfect timing. So if you want to get involved, now is the perfect time to do this. It's only £1 a month. All the money goes towards me and Barney running the show. Every little helps and you get involved in the community and do the predictions league, get the bonus pods, and we do watch alongs every now and again. So yeah, it's good stuff to get stuck in. I finally remembered to plug the Patreon, Barney, which I forget to do every week. Should we do a news? There's quite a few bits of news.
Yeah.
The big one, because we're going to start with news, not just games, Barney. Sporting, they pulled the plug.
Yeah.
They decided that the experiment wasn't working. Joao Pereira was let go after only a few games, and they brought in Vitória manager Rui Borges. I'm sure everyone's got a lot of thoughts on this, Barney. What was your immediate reaction to the news that they let Vitor Pereira go and Joao Pereira go? Sorry, and they got in Rui Borges.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little bit surprised. I thought they were just going to stick it out, but it just was not working, was it? And it seems like a foolish move to have made. £4 million for Rui Borges doesn't seem too bad, although Of course, there are other managers available, but I was quite excited by that appointment because he's done really well at Vitória, and I think they're definitely looking at Vitória's success in Europe this season as a big factor. It did feel like it was needed to be done because it was a really horrible period, really, wasn't it? Like, I just didn't see there was no something had gone drastically wrong. I don't know what it is. It was the players just couldn't get behind him or what. It wasn't going well, but that change. Maybe we do need to give him credit for making the change when they did, because maybe other clubs would have stuck it out a bit longer before deciding to. They would have maybe been embarrassed of sort of admitted they had made a mistake, but when they clearly had. But so yeah, maybe that is a positive. But yeah, it was a it wasn't a, didn't catch me by surprise his appointment, but it was a sort of wasn't the most obvious one. I would have said that they could have gone for a bigger name, but it was interesting that they went for the up and comer, really.
I mean, I guess on the sacking of João Pereira first. Yeah, you're right. There's kind of two ways you can look at it, right? Because I suppose what you have to do is say, okay, fair enough. They admitted that they made a mistake. But I think it was a mistake. I think it was their mistake. And obviously, it's easy to say with the benefit of hindsight. The thing that I always say is, I can't remember where I heard it. I think I was watching some kind of interview with the Leyton Orient owners, and we had a similar situation a few years ago where we sacked a manager after only a few games, and the owner at that time said, if you sack a manager after 4 years, it's the manager's fault. If you sack a manager after 4 weeks, it's your fault. Like, it's the board's fault. And I think that's a fairly good like assessment, because if you sack a manager after such a short space of time, you're basically saying, look, we hired the wrong person. And it was, I remember, like, at the time, like, when they appointed him, no one really questioned it. And maybe a few people did. We didn't. Not because I thought he was definitely the right man for the job, but because I didn't really, I just didn't really question their decision making. I guess you kind of thought, okay, I liked the idea that they were looking for continuity. I liked the idea that they were saying, we're not going to throw away all the work that Amorim did. We're going to try and sustain it, and that, the work that he'd done had kind of filtered through to the youth teams, and that the youth teams were playing in that way, and they were going to say, well, look, this is our new image, and we're just going to build on it. I liked that at the time. For whatever reason, I think João Pereira clearly, at this point in his career, I'm trying to choose my words correctly, lacks something that you need to manage a top club like Sporting. And perhaps that's not necessarily the tactical side of things or the technical side of things or setting up training sessions, all that kind of thing. Maybe it's those other slightly less tangible traits that you need to be a top manager, whether that's just being able to command a group of highly talented, motivated young men at the peak of their powers. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I'm speculating, obviously, because we don't know behind the scenes, but I doubt very much it's his technical ability that's at fault, but perhaps he just wasn't the right man to lead this team at this time.
Well, it goes back to this sort of, because they were in such a strong position, brimming with confidence. The football was impressive, but they obviously still had their a few issues under Amorim, but like nothing too bad. And then he obviously came in, and then it was clear really that there was a sort of a drop off, and whether that was just like they were only giving 90%, or they just didn't believe in what he was saying, or in the little tweaks he did make here and there. Maybe he just lost the trust of some of the players. Amorim was a huge person to lose for a lot of them. I think I think Gyökeres has spoken about how disappointed he was at Amorim's decision to leave midway through the season. And then of course you're in this point where you've got this. I've talked on the podcast before about how I feel it's a really unique position that Sporting are in this season. To have kept so many players for various reasons, and like so, and that comes round to the necessity of maybe pulling the trigger 4 weeks in. Sacking João Pereira, and because they needed a response quickly to sort of try and see out the season and keep up with or keep in the top spot and to try and get this second successive championship, which they haven't been able to do before. It's yeah, I think we're I think the transition with Rui Borges so far, what we've seen, the performance against Benfica, which was really good, the performance in Vitória, which is probably a more honest representation of the situation. I think we've seen some of the issues. He's tweaked the system essentially. He's gone with the 4-4 1-1, or however you want to describe it. Not too dissimilar for Amarin's, because Amarin's system was quite fluid and people made different runs at different times. But I think some of the issues, we're starting to see Diamande's frailties a bit more. He's obviously a physical specimen, got great passing, but sometimes he can make the odd error. I think De Bast, I think actually I think Diamande and De Bast are quite interesting, because I think De Bast was not very good in a back three, or he had his moments where it was a bit shaky. Diamande seems a bit more comfortable in a back three. Now they've gone to the back four, I think Diamande might get caught out a few more times, and perhaps De Bast might improve under Rui Borges. There's lots of elements that need ironing out. But I think the ultimate thing is that, a manager who's had a real success in this league with Moreirense, now Vitória, and in Europe, trying to get that confidence back and that little bit of belief, which I think has certainly left some of the players.
Yeah, I did like the appointment as well. As you say, it's a really good story for him. He's 43 years old. He's not much older than Amorim. He's been around in Portugal. He's managed smaller clubs, as you say. Most recently, people know him from Moreirense and Vitória. Did really well with Vitória. I don't think he probably expected to have this opportunity midway through the season. Maybe he would have expected something similar at the end of the season. I don't know. But the thing that maybe I'm reading too much into this, Barney. Maybe if there's sporting fans listening, they might disagree. I thought it was a fairly big statement going to the back four in his first game. Or at least I read a lot into it, because that to me said straight away he was coming in and saying, I'm not Ruben Amorim and I'm not trying to be. And I'm not here because they think I'm going to emulate what Amorim's done. I'm here because they've hired me for who I am. And again, with the benefit of hindsight, I wonder what psychologically a message that sends to the players in a positive way, in a sense that they go, okay, well, look, this is the new guy, and it's now our job to get behind him. Because there was always that like trepidation about what will Sporting look like after Amorim leaves, and I think it was from the players and from the fans as well. He's so much success under Amorim for after so long being, almost the laughing stock of Portuguese football. And I think there was a lot of nervousness about, oh, what's going to happen when he leaves? And maybe that João Pereira appointment wasn't the right one in terms of giving the fans confidence and the players confidence. And actually, Rui Borges coming in and an appointment like that, where he's not an Abel Ferreira, who I know they wanted, but they were never going to get. But he is still just a different man who's got the confidence. And I do see that in him. I do see the confidence and charisma that you need to manage a big club like Sporting. And I think, in that sense, it's good that he's come in and already put his own stamp on it and said, I'm going to do this my way. And I think the players respect that. And I think, as you said, from the first couple of results, I think they will respond to it.
Yeah, but I guess with that formation change, though, it does put a few question marks on. Well, when the whole team's fit, you're probably gonna you look at the fullback positions, and he's got I can't see Quenda or Katmo filling in those positions. I think Quaresma looked
No,
really
they
good at
will not
right
be
back.
playing in the back four. No.
No, but then that means when you go further forward, there's less positions for all the players. So
Yeah.
I think I imagine Gonçalves will play behind Gyökeres, and then you've got Trincão on one wing. And then Quenda, Katmo, and Edwards and Araújo are potentially fighting it out for that one other spot. So that would be interesting, because all those players have been the sort of the bright spots this season. They've been the ones getting the goals, and having so many has been what's so fun to watch, made Sporting so fun to watch. But then on the other hand of that, I think I talk about Eduardo Quaresma's performance against Benfica was a joy to watch. It was great
He's a
seeing.
big game player. He performs in the big games, doesn't he?
And I like him in that right back spot. It
He
could
did
be
well,
really
yeah.
interesting.
Did well.
And maybe that means the left back could maybe go to a Katmo or Nuno Santos or Araújo. But
Yeah.
it's going to be interesting seeing how the team progresses forward, because that performance against Vitória we saw, as I said earlier, it showed their frailties that they do have. The goalkeeper, perhaps the four at the back might not suit some of those centre backs. There's definitely things he needs to work on. But Rui Borges has got a history of sort of putting good defensive teams
That's
together.
true.
So
It's very true. I do want to touch on a couple of other bits of managerial news as well, Barney. Because, of course, Vitória lost their manager and they had to bring in a replacement. And I the listeners who listen for a few seasons will know I never miss an opportunity to pat myself on the back. What did I say to you the moment that Rude Boys left Pretoria? I said, Daniel Souza to Pretoria, and not only that, but he will get them to finish above Braga, and I stand by it. That is my prediction for the rest of this season, that Vitória under Daniel Souza will finish higher than Braga under Carlos Carvalho. What do you
That's exciting.
I like it. Joe, I really like the appointment. And Daniel Souza says something really interesting, which is that he had been, obviously, he's been without a club since he left Braga. He's been considering his options and he'd been looking at moves abroad. I think probably to the Middle East, you know, not on, he probably wasn't getting moves to like Italy or France or whatever. And he said this was the one move that the one club that would have kept me in Portugal. And I totally get that because Vitória is a great job. I think on the one hand, it's a tough job. I think I've said it before. I think one of the hardest in Portugal when you compare the expectations to the resources. But for the right manager, you can't turn that job down, can you? When you look at the fan base, when you look at what they've done in Europe, I mean, Rui Borges has laid a great foundation for them in Europe. The possibilities for Daniel Souza to achieve things this season with Braga being weak, with no real obvious choice to finish fourth in the league this season, and with the run that they can get on in Europe, I think it's a great job, a great opportunity. And he's a manager I think deserves a club of this size because he proved it at Arouca. I thought he was hard done by at Braga. So I think this just works very well for all parties, really.
I think he'll relish this job a little bit more because of the Braga situation. I think he'll
Oh,
really.
mate, can you? I can't wait for the first Mino derby. It's going to be so good.
I think it's an interesting. I'm excited for him. I'm perhaps not as convinced about his success as you are, but I think that, as you said, it's that expectation slash resources. And if we're looking at Vitória's resources, some of the. They have some talent, obviously, undoubtedly, but compare it to, say, Souza's Arouca side that did so well, it's probably not, certainly not stronger, I would say, maybe on par. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we've already seen a little glimpse in that in the game against Sporting. You know, he's using youngsters that hadn't really had many minutes. I'm looking at, is it Michel who came on and got a goal, a young Angolan Canadian player. And Aranku, who I think they signed from Tondela, who another player who's like we've seen his talent, but he's never been really trusted by the previous managers. So it will be interesting to see, you know, what players he relies on and what players he can develop as well. Because, you know, one part of the success of Arouca was the way they played. It brought out the best of some of the players. And if he can find a few one or two in that squad who we can sort of try and help improve, then that'd be great. I think it's it makes, you know, the league is so exciting this year because there's so many little races, and I think, you know, Braga go and beat Benfica, of course, but like, you know, they haven't been great, and despite that result, but you know, that is going to be close. And as I said at the beginning, I think Souza will really have that mentality. He might distill it to the players about, you know, look what Braga did to me, let's do him, you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that storyline is going to play out. It's going to be so good to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm all in. I'm all in. So I'm looking forward to it. And then quickly, Barnett. I mean, we've got to talk about it. The biggest managerial appointment of the Christmas break. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I'm just trying to work it out. Why
Your
can't I get
friend of
it?
mine, the big man, Sergio Conceição's back in action.
Oh,
He's got a big job.
sorry. Yeah.
AC Milan. I mean, we don't know.
I've singled
We
out
what
the
we know
league.
about Italian football wouldn't fill the back of a postage stamp, but I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. Because people
Oh,
were talking about,
so
oh, you know, maybe Sergio Conceição will end up at Wolverhampton Wanderers, or maybe he'll go to like Qatar or go to
yeah.
Saudi Arabia. It's like, come on, this is where he belongs. Serie A,
Sunday evening training
AC
session after
Milan.
the
Oh, come
game.
on. That was the best bit. Did you see the tweets where it was like he signed and it was like he got them in on he signed his contract at like 4 p.m. and he just rang the players up and he's like, yeah, in you
Come
come.
in. Yeah,
So good. I loved it. And the photos of him when he signed with the blue glasses, oh, so good. I love it. It's perfect. It makes so much sense. I mean, people were talking about Inter Milan. Do you remember, I think it was over the summer we were talking about potentially going to Inter Milan. I thought that would have worked, but AC, oh, I love it. It's a big club, you know. He's going to be playing. Will he be playing in the Champions League? I mean, presumably he'd be having a crack at it, you know.
it's better than West Ham because that rumor kept
Oh,
popping
so
up.
much better than West Ham or Wolves or some crap like that, honestly. He,
Oh no, that's
look at him.
great.
That is not a man who's going to be living in Wolverhampton. Do you know what I
Nah.
mean? He belongs in a nice Italian city. He's got an espresso in one hand. Did you see him speaking Italian as well?
Yeah. No, I was so happy for him, and I'm already like, oh, I want to do a career mode like that now. He deserved a job like that. No, I think it
I
was great.
agree. I agree. Yeah, we look forward to following how he does at Milan. Wishing him all the success in the world. I'm a big Conte guy. I love him. So, yeah.
I was going to say just a little bit on Porto, Albert, because I'm already deep into the transfer gossip. There were
Oh,
rumors
nice.
about Uribe coming back. I think he's finished or he's terminated his contract at, was he in Qatar?
How old is
But
he
that'd
now?
be an interesting one because it's that sort of signing where like that the old guard coming back. I don't know, and they've sold well they've loaned Fran Navarro to Braga, and that's obviously an
Yeah.
upgrade for Braga. I just wonder. Yeah, I wonder what AVB obviously has got the financial limitations, but he certainly pulled a rabbit out of the hat with the Samu signing. That was towards the end of the summer window, wasn't it? So I
I
wonder if
think
they've
so,
got.
yeah.
It feels like they need something. They're doing all right, but it feels like Porto need a little something this January.
Well, I did have on my little agenda for this episode, Barney, a transfer window chat. So, shall we get stuck into that now? Because the January transfer window is open. Obviously, it's not as big a deal as the summer transfer window, but nevertheless, interesting things can happen. We already saw, as you say, Fran Navarro move to Braga. I mean, that was always where he was meant to be, right? I remember Porto hijacked that deal at the last. Was it on the deadline day last January,
Yeah, but he didn't
where he
move
was
until the
like,
summer. Yeah.
but it was like all three clubs were after him. It was like
Yeah.
Benfica went in for him, Porto went in for him, and Braga went in for him, all on deadline day, and ended up at Porto. The only rumors I've seen for Porto as well are departures with even Jaime and a couple
Yeah.
of other sort of fringe players leaving. But one transfer I wanted to talk to you about, Barney, that I do like that has been done is Rafik Gaitán going back to Estoril. Obviously, didn't get a look in at Braga, but what a good player! I mean, I love watching him play, and we're not seeing him at Braga, so I'm delighted he already made an impact in the game at the weekend against Estrella. Good signing. I like that one. I don't know if you've seen anything else that
No,
you're enjoying so far.
I really like that one. I really like Astral at the moment. I think they've stuck out with Ian Cafro. He's found his formation. He's found his core players now that he can rely on. Like Højlund came back from injury. Is it Xhaka the experience? Like he's
Yes.
been
Scored
like
at the
that's.
weekend as well.
Yeah, that's a good midfield, and the wing backs are looking good, like Wagner Pino and that. And I think that's just shows like we so often we see managers fired so quickly, and it's like it's,
Yeah.
that I really sh yeah. And it wasn't another story from Estoril about the director of football or
Yeah, they got a new director of football in.
the first female director of football
Well,
in the.
she's the first female director of football, and Rio Ave have the first female president
That's it.
as well. So, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, just nice little story, is it? I'm glad that Estoril was, yeah, because I didn't want Estoril to get in trouble. Really. I really like Estoril, and I think yeah, I was trying to remember in the summer if Cafro played Gaetan or if it was, that was because the move was being like I feel like he
I
wasn't
don't think
playing.
he played. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
think he played. While
So
we're
yeah.
on Estoril, Barney, obviously they won at the weekend. If you didn't see it, they won 4-2 away at Estrella Amador. They were 3-0 up. Did very well to go through it. Well, they were gifted a goal and then they scored from two corners. But I mean, they take the win. They played well. But Barney, did you know they've now won as many away games in 2025 as they won throughout the whole of 2024.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So they only won one away game last year, and now
Yeah.
they've bettered that. So that was good for them. The last thing I had on the transfer window, Barney. Do you think? Because now we're getting into Premier League territory here. Do you think we're going to start to see Ruben Amorim bringing the players in from Sporting now that Man U are in so much trouble? We've already seen the Victor Gyökeres rumours. I've seen the Inacio rumours. I wonder whether we'll see the same thing with Rui Borges as well. I've seen Thomas Handel linked with Sporting. So, there's a bit of a kind of merry-go-round that I can see starting.
Yeah, I think the Man U rumors are just I think that's just easy, lazy stuff. Because I think, didn't he say, didn't he promise?
Yeah,
Has he
but they
said?
always do that. They always do that.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I think I like to think Amor would be true to his word and not disturb them halfway through the season. Although the only thing I think is Jokeres and whether he's angled, if he angles for it himself, then I think that could come through. But whether they've got the money, I don't know, is another question. I think the Rui Borges thing, I think Handel would be a good signing, particularly if they are gonna. I feel like the two central midfielders positions completely changes with his formation, and perhaps he needs a different dynamic player. Although I think, is it Manu Silva's going to Mexico? I think that's the strong rumor I've seen on Twitter the last few days. So if he goes, I don't know if they'll be able to afford to let Handel go as well. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sort of hope. It feels like there's always quite a big departure. Luis Diaz went in January, didn't he?
That's true.
Did Darwin go in the summer, or did he go? Yeah, Darwin went in the summer.
But Enzo
But
Fernandez went in the winter for the World Cup
yes, that's
Rugby.
it. So yeah,
So there
maybe there
could
will
be
be.
one. There could be a big one.
Yeah, no, the only ones that have gone through over that I've quite liked is another ex-Estoril player, João Marques, who was at Braga, who hasn't had his opportunity at all, has gone to on loan to Gil Vicente, which and yeah, I've always got soft spots for Gil Vicente, so that could be a nice little move. Who are you going for your transfer gossip? Who was that guy who's just completely fallen off the face of the
Pedro Sepulveda. Yeah, I mean, I used to like
earth?
that guy, but
I used to like that guy,
I think
and then he just,
he's gone into hiding
yeah,
after
he was a
some terrible antics over the summer.
bit. He got community noted a lot, didn't
But do you not
he?
know there's a new guy on the block, Barney? There's a new guy on
Yeah,
Twitter,
I just can't remember his name.
Sebastião Sousa Pinto, I think his name
Yeah,
is.
he seems pretty reliable.
He's the one now. He's the new guy on the block. So he's who I'll be trusting when it comes to the Premier League transfer rumours. We've spoken about a few clubs, Barney. The one club we haven't spoken about really is Benfica. Are the wheels coming off? They obviously drew. No, sorry, excuse me. They lost to Sporting and now they lost to Braga at home. So two disappointing results. Bruno Lage, has the new manager bounce worn off? I think that's what people are kind of.
Yeah, I've seen some fans describe it really well, where they're sort of like, you know, this was always coming. I think the new manager bounce was a bit of a thing, but
I
think,
did
you
see
know.
the hashtag Walter Schmidt, comeback Schmidt.
To be honest, Albert, I think, you know,
Here we go.
I don't think we've just been talking about transfers. I think when you look at it, that's been their real issue. This, you know, they've had it.
I mean,
They've just.
you can't sign two strikers. You can't sign Arthur Cabral for 20 mil and then Pavlidis for 20 mil, and neither of them are scoring. And then I saw the rumor now that they're going to go back in for that Mexican striker from Feyenoord, who they was the one they
Oh,
originally wanted
Jimenez,
in the summer.
yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you're going to spend another 30, 40 million on another striker. It's just,
It's, yeah.
Porto found someone to score the goals. Sporting's found someone to score the goals. It's just Benfica really struggled to find that striker.
Yeah. And Pavlidis is beyond the joke now. It's like it's almost
It's
there's
really
something in his
worrying because
head.
his goal record before he joins Benfica is insane. So good. So what is so different that he can't score for Benfica?
It is really interesting, but that I like. And same with Cabral. Cabral came with a pretty decent record. Like he killed it in Switzerland, was all right in Italy. But yeah, and I think that goes back to Lage, doesn't it? Because once again, I think we're sort of seeing a manager who feels like we haven't seen a manager at Benfica who's got such a obvious way of playing. You know, there's clear ideas about how to create goals. You know, it always feels like it seems to be left to the own the individuals, the players to sort of make things happen. And that's maybe like what needs to be addressed, because you've got the talent there. Like you've got Di Maria, you've got Koshu, you've got.
I mean, Kotchu was, I was about to swear then, he's very bad.
No,
I
but
fought it at the weekend.
but like I think maybe that's an example of when you've
But
got
he's
some.
obviously a, sorry, he's obviously a very talented player. Like he's got the ability. We've seen the ability.
Yeah, exactly. But like if you know if you're not practicing chance creation, or you know if you don't know where your players are running, you know, it's harder for you to. You have to think that bit more, take that bit more time, etc. I don't know. And across the board, really, you know, look at the midfield as well. Barrero, maybe I'm saying his name, I'm sorry, but he hasn't really,
Yeah.
that it's not that sort of profile of player. And it's once again it's another workhorse when you need,
Yeah, they've got quite a few of those in midfield.
So I don't know. I remember like a month ago, I was saying like, are they back? But it does really feel like a manager bounce. And it, once again, it makes this season so much more interesting because it's seems that the big three are all like, there's no, they could drop points. It feels like they drop points to any team,
Yeah.
So I don't know. I
Well,
think
the one
they've.
thing that I didn't see coming, Barney, which is that at the halfway point of the season, obviously Porto, again, we haven't touched on this yet. Porto had their game called off, which was, in my opinion, hilarious. Again, at Nacional, on a Friday. It was a Friday night, and they're trying to play the game in Madeira,
Oh
and it was
no.
fogged off. Oh dear. Anyway, but my
There's just
point
no
being,
thought.
it's bizarre. It's a very bizarre situation. I mean, who saw that coming? It's not like it happened a few weeks ago. But my point being that we are now, of course, as we should say, at the halfway point of the season. And what I did not see coming was that, in my opinion, Porto are marginally, for me, the best placed team going into the second half of the season. I will say marginally. They're a point behind Sporting, but they do have a game in hand, a winnable game against Nacional. They're not miles ahead of everybody else, but I do think Sporting have been destabilized, and I think they could be further destabilized as the January transfer window goes on. I think Porto have a very good chance of finishing the January transfer window stronger than they are now. Benfica, it could go either way because we know that they can sign players, but the signings might not necessarily come off. So you don't necessarily look at Benfica and say that they're guaranteed to be in a stronger position at the end of the season, at the end of the January transfer window than they were at the start. So I do think it makes for a really interesting second half of the season, which is it's good for all the neutrals, it's good for everyone who wants to follow the league. I don't think many people called it being a three-way tie this season, but it looks like it could be a close-run thing. And Porto, the club that I think we've probably neglected a little bit over the season, there's been a lot of very kind of understated wins, like 1-0s, 2-0s, routine wins. Obviously, there's been a few headline catching things, like Samu has been a revelation, and I think he will go from strength to strength. But they find themselves, in my opinion, in a very strong position, and I think it could be a very interesting. I think it's going to be an interesting January transfer window. I'd love to see if they're going to make more signings. That's what I'm interested in because I think the squad's already pretty good. But if they were able to add to that, if they were able to identify one or two players, maybe they offload a couple of fringe players, if they were able to even add to what they've got now, I think it could be a very, very interesting second half of the season.
Yeah, I think Fabio Vieira is starting to settle in. I think Rodrigo Moura has had a good couple of games. Like that's been, that's 17 years old, and it feels like when Porto. When they had these young players coming through, that's when they're sort of at the most exciting to watch. And yeah, they seem. I think I agree with you there. I think that they're the most settled squad. Like I said, I think AVB might pull a trick out or two. Just to. I think they were looking at is it Barco, the young Argentina left back on who was on loan at Sevilla from
Yeah,
Brighton.
a Football
We,
Manager legend, I think. Bit of a.
yeah, he might come in because I think they've obviously got their injury issues at left back. So that would be, yeah, maybe might be loans rather than signings, but I agree with you. It is really interesting, and I think, yeah, it there's no pressure. I remember saying at the beginning of the season
Yeah.
that it was going to be transitional, like,
It was a bit of a freebie, wasn't it? Yeah.
yeah, but
But do you
then
know what I
yeah.
would be thinking now, Barney? Because I mean, again, with my kind of boring, sensible hat on, I think sometimes when you run a football club as ABB runs Porto now, you have to be smart and you have to look at a situation in front of you and say, when is it a smart time to invest in the squad? When is it a smart time to just manage like stability? I do wonder whether they would now be looking at this January transfer window and saying, look, we're in a better position than we probably thought we might be. I don't know. They might have been more ambitious than we were, but they're certainly in a good position. They might be looking at the opposition and saying, Sporting are obviously weaker than they have been for the last 3 or 4 seasons. Benfica haven't really capitalized in a way that they could have. Maybe this window is an opportunity actually where investment could go a long way if they're to get another title or finish in the top two or something like that, because I think there is an opportunity there.
Where would you We look to improve our what positions?
That's the question. I think it might sound strange considering some of the talent they've had before, but maybe on the wings, which sounds strange for a team with Galeno, with Pepe, with Fabio Vieira. But I just think if Pepe is likely to leave, which I think he might be, Galeno is kind of a bit inconsistent, maybe a bit old now. And Fabio Vieira, great signing. But if they just were able to unearth that next kind of dynamic winger that they've had before, the likes of Tessitura Corona or like Luis Diaz, if they were able to identify that player now, I think that would make a real big difference to their team. Because otherwise, I think they're pretty good, aren't they? Like the goalkeeper is obviously fantastic. I think they found a decent centre back pairing, fullbacks. I think they're looking pretty good. Injuries aside, the midfield looks solid, and I think they've got creativity in there. The striker looks really good. So yeah, it's just that lack of consistency from Galeno for me, and yeah, that's possibly what I'd be thinking. But then again, it depends what players are out there, who's available.
Yeah, I've seen them linked with a Ecuadorian left back, Medina, like attacking fullback. I think he wears number seven. He plays back. So yeah, I don't know if that would be that sort of player. Because like it was, I don't know, I would associate Porto with like a South American winger, like putting out gems. Yeah, no, yeah, they're looking good. I was. I feel like they're starting to settle on the defense as well. I think Perez and Giallo took a bit of time to settle, and Otavio has come back as well. They've got it's just so much talent that it's like it's just who you give your chances to really. What one departure, Albert? Samuel Portugal? Do you think he's on his way out,
Oh
or is he
my
just going to
God.
collect his
He's
check?
still not played. It's absolutely bizarre. What a waste of a career, man. So sad. But yeah, I mean, I hope he's, getting a decent paycheck out of it. Barney, before we wrap up the show, should we just quickly look at the bottom end of the table? Because I do quite enjoy this, halfway through the season, looking at where we are. I'm kind of looking at a bottom group. You always end up with a little group, don't you, at the bottom. And for me, this year, that's kind of 13th down. Although Estoril only 2 points above that, Gil Vicente only 2 points above that. But, still, the weakest teams in the league for me that we're looking at are Estrella Amador in 13th, AVS in 14th, Arouca in 15th, Ferenc in 16th, Nacional in 17th, Boavista rock bottom 18th, only 12 points from 17 games. I don't know, just if you, what's your instinct of those teams? Which of them do you think has the best chance of kind of having a little second half of the season push to get out of relegation trouble?
My heart says Boavista. Like I don't know if they do have enough in the tank. Obviously the squad's threadbare,
They're only 3 points currently behind safety.
Yeah. They just seems I don't know, it was it feels like they keep being unlucky. Nacional, I think, is that
I do worry about them.
they just seem to be like they're gonna be like a yo-yo club we just keep seeing come up and down. They haven't been able to make their jump. They were quite active, weren't they? Well, I think I remember talking up there,
They did quite a few signings, I think.
Squad, yeah, but I think was it Nathan Thomas who I remember doing well at Passos, but he's leaving apparently. Bruno Costa hasn't really done well, yeah, friends as well. I don't know. I think Arouca might be on the up. I think they're starting to find their groove a little bit. I think is it just a Turkish striker Yasin? He's got a few goals recently.
Yeah, scored in their last game. They got a big win, I think, their last game. So yeah,
Yeah.
they and under Vasco Sierra, a manager that we have a soft spot for. So
Well, you do.
yeah, I do definitely. Yeah, well they beat Boavista 3-1 on the weekend. I did
Yeah.
actually watch part of that game.
And then AVS and Estrella, I just don't know where to make my mind up on them.
I'm gonna say Barney, the club that I worry about is AVS.
Is it?
I do because Arouca, I think, have got talented players, and I think Seabra will do enough, just like he did enough with Estoril last season. I don't think he'll be spectacular, but I think he'll do enough. Ferenc, I mean, I think Ferenc are going to improve a lot. We haven't spoken about it that much, but they got the new manager. His name escapes me at the moment, but they've got a new manager and decent players, so I think that they'll do. I think that they will improve. So Arouca and Ferenc, I think, will improve. Nacional, I think, probably don't have enough to stay up, unfortunately. AVS, I worry about. Estrella, I do worry about as well, but they survived last season, didn't they? On the last day of the season, they can probably do it again. And as you say, Boavista, they always seem to do enough, and it's only 3 points off safety, even if they are bottom of the table. So yeah, I worry about Nacional. I worry about AVS. I worry about whether Boavista can do enough I worry about whether Estrella will survive by the skin of their teeth again. And yeah, I think maybe Estoril, maybe Aruka, maybe Firenze are the teams that I can see kind of just improving enough to to get away from danger.
Yeah, I mean, slightly further up out, but I think, I mean, obviously Santa Clara still continue to impress me. Cassiopeia, let's talk. We haven't, I feel like we
So
haven't.
good. Yeah,
Yeah,
they
man.
really deserve a lot of credit, don't they? Seventh, it's unbelievable, really.
They've had a great little run, and they look like a, there's
I wonder if
talent
their manager's one that will be kind of touted by a
there.
lot of bigger clubs, you know.
For sure. Because
Because
how old is he?
they
Is it?
beat Braga, didn't they, at a quarry. And I think after that, you know, that was the game.
Yes.
Personally, I thought Carvajal was going to go after that game. And I
Yeah.
thought they could even get the Casapia manager in as an option.
And then he
But
goes
I
and
think,
beats Benfica.
yeah, I know. But yeah, I think Casapia and their manager are that's, I mean, we really cannot understate the fact that they have got twice as many points as Boavista. They've got 10 points more than Ferenc, and they're sitting seventh in the table. That is probably alongside Nacional, the team with the lowest budget in the league,
Yeah.
maybe alongside one or two of these other teams. It's an incredible achievement.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some fans worried about if they'll be able to keep some of those players. Like Telasco, Segovia, 21-year-old Venezuelan, is just like, I really like him. João Pereira is their manager, Albert, 32 years old. I was trying to remember, I knew he was young.
Yeah,
Yeah,
really young.
so, yeah, 3 years younger than Cassiano, is there? But yeah, no, happy for them. I'm happy for. I think I'm a little bit excited about Gil Vicente. I wonder if they've.
They could do something. There's an opportunity there, maybe.
Was just looking at the points out in sixth, but it'll be a lot, wouldn't it? To.
Yeah, they're 7 points off sixth place. But it's, you know, I think those type of clubs, Barney, Famalicão, Rio Ave, Gil Vicente, Moreirense, even Casapia, you know, they'll be looking up, I think, rather than down, which is all you can really ask for a club of that size.
I think the window's going to be interesting now, because I think often we see clubs in those positions as the teams you just mentioned, who some become very active and then that almost disrupts them. Some lose. It's the Brazilian window, isn't it, as well? The Brazilian transfer window, because it's the end of the Brazilian season, isn't it? So then
True.
we always see, if you like, there's always a bit of activity both
Bit
ways,
of
but
movement
more often
there.
than not it seems like the good players going to Brazil. So that might, yeah, might disrupt a few teams. So we'll have to
Absolutely.
see.
Well, before we wrap up, Barney, I want to end on one last news story. I don't know if you know what this is going to be. But in the second division at Oliveirense versus Feirense, we were treated to the spectacle of the ground staff using milk to draw the lines on the pitch, and we actually saw them with a big six pack of milk filling up the line painter. Now, this was obviously doing the rounds on social media. It was kind of it was a hilarious story until Oliveirense released a statement to Record saying this technique is actually used even in the Premier League, and that the fat and lactose content of the milk stops the lines from being dissolved. Sport TV, a reputable outlet in Portugal, deleted the footage from the internet as a result of this complaint. I think this might be possibly one of the best stories ever since we've been doing the Longball Football Podcast. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I love the way it took off, and then this, and
Absolutely fantastic.
I love that there's a logical reason for it. It's
I
just a
love the fact that they were
very
so
incredible
outraged that
image.
they were getting humiliated that they had to like release a statement to clarify their actions.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a bit of fun. But all right, we'll leave it there for this week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Obviously, a bit different. We'll probably get back to the normal podcast next week, maybe with a guest. But yeah, exciting to kick off the January transfer window and the new year with some big stories. And yeah, we're looking forward to covering it as the January transfer window goes on. But yeah, that just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.